How are you at waiting? I don't know if you find waiting something that is very easy to do or something you find particularly difficult. I'm guessing that most of us struggle to wait for things. It's not a natural thing that we find easy or enjoyable. And even in Britain, where queuing for things does seem to be something of a national pastime, even if you're British, waiting is difficult and unpleasant. As Ian mentioned, I've just come back from some international travel, and in order to get the flights that we needed to get from Israel back to the UK, we needed to get particular flights that would be a good cost, and it meant that we ended up waiting around in airports for longer than we would be in the air. Now, that's fine if you need to make sure that you're spending your money wisely and being good stewards, but it means you spend a lot of time being like this chap on the screen, trying to attempt to wait with patience and dignity. And I have to say, I am not someone who waits well with patience and dignity, and I think as the night grew on, as we were waiting through the early hours in the morning, I think the rest of our group were struggling to wait with patience and dignity too. Waiting is just not something we enjoy, is it? It's not something we want, and it seems to be harder than ever today to wait well. After all, we live in a society that wants and indeed gets things instantly. We don't need to go to the cinema if we don't want to. We can download a film instantly onto our TV. Books are available for us to buy 24 hours a day. I just need to pick up an e-reader and I can buy whatever book I want. No need to wait for the shops to open. We can binge watch TV shows on Netflix or via box sets. We don't have to do that horrible thing of waiting a whole week for a new episode to come out. We can just watch one after the other after the other. Everything is always on. Everything is always available. And it seems to me that our society and our culture today is about trying to make waiting a thing of the past. Well, the German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer has some very wise words on the subject of waiting, written some years ago now. This is what he said. He said, "Waiting is an art that our impatient age has forgotten. It wants to break open the ripe fruit when it is hardly finished planting the shoot. But all too often the greedy eyes are only deceived. The fruit that seems so precious is still green on the inside, and disrespectful hands ungratefully toss aside what has so disappointed them." What Bonhoeffer is saying there is that we have, in wanting to get everything instantly, lost the art of waiting well. And that's important for us to recapture. Because you see, one of the marks of being a Christian is that we are waiting people. We are people who wait. It's one of the distinctives of what it means to be a Christian. We are those who wait. We wait for the purposes of God to be completed. We wait for our Savior to return. We wait for a new creation to be revealed. So today, as Ian mentioned, we're going to begin a series of lunchtime sermons entitled, "What Are You Waiting For?" Trying to help us to look to the future and to recapture what it means to wait well. And this passage from Ephesians chapter 1 is a terrific place for us to start. It is crammed full of wonderful truths, deep and meaningful things that we would just benefit from spending loads and loads of time dwelling on. We had the whole of that section read for us very wonderfully by Michelle, mainly because in the original language, verses 3 to 14 are really all one long sentence. It's an enormous sentence that Paul is connecting all these different themes together. But just for the purposes of time, and since people need to go back to work, we're just going to focus in on two verses this lunchtime, verses 9 and 10. You'll find it there on page 1173. And I think those are great verses for us to focus on as we think about this theme, because there we see that Christians are waiting with a purpose. We are waiting with a purpose. Let me read to you the beginning part of those verses, and I'll start halfway through verse 8. with all wisdom and understanding, he, that is God, made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. So here, Paul is telling us about the grand sweep of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. And here in these verses, he tells us the reasons why Christians are a waiting people is because God has a purpose that he is going to complete. You see, Christians aren't those who just wait aimlessly. We don't just wait for the fun of it. Rather, it is because God has an aim in mind. So as Christians, we wait and we look forward to God's aim being completed. God is doing something. He has a purpose in mind that he is working towards. And here in these verses, Paul tells us that that purpose of God is anchored both in the past and in the future. It's anchored in the past because we're told, verse 9, that it is purposed in Christ. That is, God's great plan and purpose for all creation is achieved through the death and resurrection of God the Son. So that Easter Sunday, that Good Friday and Easter Sunday together, changed the whole world, not just the whole world, the whole universe. All of God's plans and purposes for the whole of his creation were worked through those events. The cross and the empty tomb make it all possible. It is purposed in Christ. It's anchored in the past. But of course, this grand purpose of God is also anchored in the future because it has yet to be put into full effect. So Paul says there will come a day when the times reach their fulfillment. That is, when the grand purposes and aspects of God's plan come fully into completion. There will be a day when everything that God is planning, all that he has been working towards, come to fruition, come to all its fullness. But we know that day has not yet come. That's why we wait. It's what we long for. It's what we look forward to. What are we waiting for? We are waiting for God's purposes to fully come to completion. So Paul helps us to understand, why do we wait well? How do we wait well? Well, we wait because there is a purpose. God has a plan. But you might be surprised about the language that Paul uses to talk about that plan. Do you see it there in verse 9? He calls this purpose of God a mystery. I wonder if you puzzled over that as we had these verses read for us. It seems a very strange thing to use to describe this great and wonderful cosmic plan of God that he is at work in. And the reason it might seem strange to us is because the way that we use the word mystery is to describe something that is hidden, which we need to uncover. So if we think about mystery, we maybe think of it as something like a sealed box. We know there's something interesting and exciting inside of it. There might be something amazing, some great treasure, but we'll never know what's in there until we take the initiative and we open the box. And you see that all the way through the different ways we use the word mystery. We read mystery novels. Maybe you're a big fan of the mystery novel. Well, a mystery novel is where somebody like a detective spends time and energy over the course of the story unraveling the plot and revealing the truth. There's some great plan, there's some great scheme, some great conspiracy that's going on, and only this one particular person can do the digging who has the resources enough to be able to uncover what is really going on. So it might seem strange to us to read these words and think, well, here is a great and grand purpose of God, but it's a mystery. Does that mean it's something we simply cannot know? Well, the answer is no, that's not what Paul is meaning here. When the Bible uses the word mystery, it uses it in a slightly different way. For the Bible writers, like Paul, a mystery is indeed something that has been hidden but is now revealed. But the difference for from the way that we often use it to the way that the Bible writers use it, is that it's not our initiative or our skill or our wisdom that uncovers the truth. Now, a mystery is uncovered and revealed by God's initiative and his revelation. So Paul is saying here, God is up to something with his creation. God has a big plan and purpose for all of the universe. He is doing something. And the only way we would know about it is not through our wisdom and skill. It's not through great study and great academia. It is if God reveals it to us. If God is up to something, then we need to listen to see if God has told us what it is. And the wonderful thing is, he has. He has. And indeed, Paul tells us here in verse 10. He tells us what God is up to. He tells us what we're waiting for. We are waiting for unity. When did you see that? Let me read to you verse 10 again. All of this is to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. As Christians, we are waiting people. But as Christians, what are we waiting for? We are waiting for God's grand plan for the whole of his creation to be completed. And what is that grand plan? It is to bring unity to all things under Christ. That is what God is working towards. That is his aim. He is going to bring everything there is under the rule and reign of Christ Jesus. That is God's ultimate purpose. That every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The word that Paul uses here, to sort of bring unity to all things, literally means bring under one head. That's a great phrase, isn't it? Since everything in all creation has one head, one ruler, Jesus Christ. But the way that Paul uses it also has another sort of idiomatic way of understanding it, which means really just simply to sum up. If you've been reading some dreadfully long report for work, you might sort of skip to the end and say, okay, what is the summing up at the end? What is that final paragraph? What do I really need to know? Well, the answer here is that what we really need to know about the whole of creation, what is the summing up? What is the key understanding for the whole of God's great cosmic plan? It is Jesus Christ. Everything is brought together, gathered up, collected to give glory and honor to Jesus Christ. That is the end to which God created the world, to show his glory through the person of Jesus. That's the big story. That's the executive summary of the universe, bringing everything under Jesus Christ. It's a big, amazing, cosmic view that Paul wants us to have our minds blown by. God is summing up the universe in the glory of Jesus Christ. It's what we wait for. But as sweeping and as cosmic as Paul's view is, it has a personal aspect for us too. You see, just look at those words again in verse 10. To be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. All things. My friends, that means you and I too. We are part of all things, are we not? And that means since we are part of God's creation, we are part of all things, we too are to come under that great summing up in Christ. And what does that mean? Well, it means that we become the most human we can possibly be when we relate rightly to Jesus as our King and our head. I think the Christian writer A.W. Tozer put it very well when he said these words. He said, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork, the tuning fork, are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned, not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshippers meeting together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God and strive for closer fellowship. What does this mean? Well, it means that God is bringing unity, not by making us more and more focused on unity and trying very, very hard to be united, but by bringing each one of us under the rule and reign of our head, Jesus Christ. God is bringing us under one head. And as he sums up his creation under Christ, so he brings his creation into unity, into harmony under Christ. My friends, isn't that something we would long to wait for? However impatient we are, however difficult we find waiting, isn't that something worth waiting for? As we look out into our fractured world, such disharmony, such heartache, such pain, a fractured world. And as we look into our own hearts, our own relationships, which are often so fractured and disharmonious, do we not long for? Do we not wait for that day when God brings unity and harmony by bringing us under one head, Jesus Christ? And so we wait. We wait for that great and glorious day when all things will be brought under Christ. But as we finish, we need to ask the question, well, what difference does that make for us today? What does it look like for us to be working while waiting? And I just want to highlight two implications as we finish for our workplaces. The first is this, that waiting puts things into perspective. Waiting puts things into perspective. You see, Paul gives us that amazing, sweeping, cosmic plan of God in part so that we would see correctly the ordinary world of the here and now. You see, in our lives and in our workplaces, we face many, many myriad stresses and strains, interpersonal relationships, job insecurities, workload stresses, and many more besides. We can list in our heads our own particular lists of the difficulties and stresses that we find. And they're all real, and they're not trivial. They're important. But you see, that Paul urges us to see our stresses and our struggles in the light of God's grand plan for all creation. That's not to say that we ignore them or we're somehow naive about the difficulties of life, but rather we see those difficulties, we name them as difficulties, but we see them in their right perspective. So whatever we're going through, we can rightly say, yes, this is a painful and difficult time I am facing. But I can also say God is working his purpose out. God is working to bring everything into harmony under Christ. And viewed through that lens, well, very often the trouble that I face seems much smaller and much more fleeting than it did. Pray that God would give us grace to see life through the lens of his great grand plan for creation. So waiting puts things into perspective. And here's the final thing. Waiting wants to start now. Waiting wants to start now. You see, there is actually a good and godly impatience. So if you're like me and you find it very difficult to wait, there's actually something you can grab hold of here. Waiting wants to start now. You see, as the Bible calls us to wait, waiting doesn't mean that we are passive or inactive. God has revealed his mystery to us. He's opened the box. He's allowed us to see what he's doing. We know his plan and purpose. We know where the universe is heading. To have all things under the rule and reign of Jesus. So if that is what God is doing, well, surely we should be about doing the same thing, shouldn't we? We should be active and pursuing the same aim. Let's get a foretaste of what it will be like on that final day by using each and every day to bring our lives under the rule of Christ. So Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who we heard from at the beginning of the sermon, once said, "The only ones who can wait are people who carry restlessness around with them." People who can wait, the only ones who can wait are those who carry restlessness around with them. So let's be those kind of people. Let's be restless to see our whole lives, our whole person, including our work lives, come under Christ as God intends. Because that's what God is doing. So as we finish, let me ask you, are there parts of your life that come under Christ's rule, but other parts that don't? Have you said, well, here and here, that's all the things that God is definitely in charge of, but this bit of my life, that I'm not so sure about. Maybe your home life comes under Christ, but your work life does not. Maybe your time comes under the rule of Christ, but not your money. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe your money comes under Christ, but your time does not. Let's bring all things under Christ. Because that is what God is doing. He is bringing all things under Christ. Not just some things, but all things. So why not start now? Why not take stock of the different aspects of your life and for each and every one, consciously bring it under the rule and reign of King Jesus? Because after all, that is what God is going to do at the end of time. So why not get a head start right here and now? Let me pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have a plan and purpose and you don't keep it to yourself, but you show us, you reveal that mystery that we could never work out for ourselves. Thank you that you are a God who speaks to us and a God who is working to bring unity and harmony throughout your whole creation. So give us grace to wait for that day, to long for that day, to look forward to that day. Maybe see our lives in perspective through that day and maybe be restless for that day to come. And as we wait, to bring everything that we have under Christ, as we long for that day when all things will be under him. Amen.